Yeah, can you believe it? It's Thursday, the 19th of May, 2022. It's Triple M, the night shift across Australia. Pat Panetta here. Miss Jess is in the booth taking your calls, and also Leroy's in the studio with me giving us a hand. 133353, the night shift across Australia. Rob Bell joins me now from Highway Advocates. Good morning, Rob. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Yeah, we're going well, mate. We've sort of got a week and a day till Luke comes back. I think we haven't broken anything yet, Leroy and I, and we're having fun.
We'll try not to say anything too controversial tonight, then. Just to
that's right. What did you do last week? Gee, you fired him up last week.
There's a few Facebook comments out there that are a little bit burny.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they get on Facebook and sort of say all sorts of stuff. Now, actually, before we dive into, I know, so your story is you were a truckie and frustrated with all sorts of stuff when you were doing those duties. Then you went off and you're training as a lawyer and you started Highway Advocates. So we're talking about cooking on the road, because Woolies have this thing about cooking bananas on the barbecue. So I'm told the truckies get very inventive and cook on the road and do all sorts of stuff. So as a truckie, and you also mentioned last week about your weight loss journey too. You've dropped a heap of weight because, you know, it's tempting on the road. And we've got calls about that too, Rob. People ring up and it's very tempting to eat junk food on the road. So what did you do? Anything inventive to cook while, you know, in the truck?
I wasn't that inventive. Like I said, I had an inverter and a few of my trucks and a microwave and my little jug. Yep. So I could pull up and make a cup of tea and put something in the microwave. That was always handy, because quite often you're sort of stuck somewhere and there's no shops nearby or anything. So you
get the microwave in the truck. So an inverter sort of powers the microwave. Is that what you mean when you say an inverter?
Like it but you need a fairly powerful one. You got to have the engine running when you're using it. They draw a lot of power out of the battery. But it powered a normal microwave and it would boil a normal electric jug.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if anybody else is doing that. I'm sure they do. A little microwave, a little cooker in the truck. What about a coffee machine? Everyone loves those coffee machines.
What about one of those in the truck?
Like for an espresso or something.
Nah. You're just being silly now, Pat.
I reckon somebody's going to have that. We'll see.
Gone too far.
That's right. Gee, that's a bit fancy, isn't it? If you got a coffee machine in the truck.
It's fancy. Little steam. I can see all sorts of accents.
That's right, with the cappuccino thing and all that. 133353, your questions for Rob Bell from Highway Advocates. If you're a truckie or a road user and you're having a problem with a fine, a penalty, or a pending court matter, Rob is your man. 133353. Actually, Rob, I remember a question without notice here. So across from me is an empty block of land and they're building units there.
Have a go, mate. What do you mean?
And on Thursday, they had the truck. I've since found out it was a delivery truck. Everyone's been very nice to each other, which is fine. And what will we do with it? And they've hit the car. My girlfriend's car is sitting at the front of the house. So the delivery truck with the timber has damaged the side of her panel. On the Thursday, I haven't said anything. So we've called the insurance company. So we've placed the claim there, paid the excess. We're going to pay the excess. But they said to us, you need to get the truck driver's name, the time, all the details, and they'll get them to pay the excess. But I'm guessing they can just say to me, oh, hang on, mate, you know, you didn't see it happen. Somebody else could have done it. Why are you assuming it's us when it was them and they were directly opposite us? So should I just forget it and pay for the repairs, or just continue on with maybe getting them to help me out?
The thing is, that guy that
sounds like China, like other investments overseas, he's going to say to super companies, you need to invest locally.
I'm trying to get free advice. Sorry, while you're here, Rob,
that's out of our jurisdiction, I'm afraid.
Okay. Fair enough. I've made you step out. Yep, that's a criminal matter, is it, that they've booked? Is that a criminal matter?
Now, so some bloke, just for those
we do criminal matters.
I'm sorry, mine's civil. Yes, sorry. John Howard. Of course, you do criminal matters when you talk about speeding fines and stuff.
Insurance law.
Another guy rang up and said, hang on a second.
Minefield. Okay.
But now that we've met, I'm going to phone you up with everything now. I'm going to phone you and ask you all sorts of dumb questions.
I've just got a little bit of advice.
It's me. You'll block me, yeah. You'll go, oh, it's him again. What about the elections pending, Rob? You know, it's only a few days away. We're talking about the sentiment is shifting towards the Liberal Party, and maybe they can do it. There's still a bridge to, you know, a long way to go. But you've got to admit, Scott Morrison's been campaigning pretty hard, and there seems to be a bit of momentum there. But as far as the industry goes, now, you know, it's up to you. I guess you don't want to sort of completely name a political party, But for truckies and road users, do you have a leaning or any suggestions that one side does it better than the other? Rob?
What do you reckon, Travis?
Good Times by Jimmy Barnes.
Well, both sides are a bit, yeah, no, I'm really laying into you this morning.
Recently? Well, I guess, sort of use that. I use this analogy.
What'd you tell Jess?
It's like Coke or Pepsi, right?
Big Yellow Taxi by Ken.
You've got a red can and you've got a blue can.
Yeah.
But it's the same crap inside, isn't it?
Well, there you are. I get it.
But one of them does taste significantly better, though. Let's be honest.
Oh, there you are. One tastes better, though, Rob.
Let's just say my tipple is Coke, no sugar.
Okay. So. Somewhere along the way, somebody will see that on the polling booth, on the ballot form, Coke, no sugar.
So is that like,
where do you get that from?
Is that like politics with no bullshit?
Never happen, will it?
That'll never happen.
Well, we had.
But all I'll say, right? Here's a simple test.
Okay. All right, listen up, everybody. He's about to do it now.
Attention. Take notes.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard? Well, I mean, this government's been in a long time. Really? When's the last time you actually heard of a government making a law that was kind of actually good for us?
Young, isn't it? Kent on the social
networks.
Oh, well, I reckon it's fair to say they didn't do anything that was good for us, but making a law? Putting seatbelts on cars.
I think it might be green screen.
I'm talking in the last term of this last government.
That was ages ago. All right, in recent times. Okay, in recent times.
When's Luke coming in?
I'm trying. I don't want to be as cynical, but I agree with you. Yeah, yeah, it's not a great situation. And, yeah. We spoke about this yesterday with the guy, Justin Smith. They're career politicians, these people, and they sort of think differently to us because they've been in that bubble for a long, long time and they haven't had this sort of real life experience. And as he pointed out, they also think about political strategies. They're not really thinking about us. They're trying to jostle for position and there's bloody all sorts of things going on with factions and things. So, you know, it's hard to penetrate all that because they've got their own agenda.
And that's the thing, too, that we're really missing a big picture here in Australia.
I'll give you
it's been a prime facet of our political landscape for quite a while. It's not our election campaigns and our parties are becoming like presidential campaigns. It's all about the prime minister. Whereas, in fact, the mechanics of government and cabinet.
Your guess was tainted.
Prime Minister is not in the Federation of Australia was formed in the Constitution, one even thought of it. Part of it.
It's more your local member.
Yeah, we had this kind of. Politics of personality, really.
Yes, who's the most. Have a listen.
Who do we like? Cover the most? Of Russell Morrison.
But when you're actually living and breathing in the real world, it's the government, more so the bureaucracy and the public service and all that we deal with that really impacts upon our daily life.
So would it be wise to focus more on your local member, or is it more the administration who do all the work and not be so presidential? Yeah, we're voting for Scott Morrison versus Albanese, and they're wheeling out their little cute dogs. And on that point, Rob, Leroy's brought in, I have to show you, you're on the webcam there, he's amazingly cute Moodle. This morning, so
a mood or a dog?
A dog. That's right.
He's sleeping at the moment, so I don't want to risk it. But I'll give you. I'll show you.
We'll
show you a better song.
Oh, don't start that. I'll have to bring out my two little cavaliers. It'll turn into a cute fest. And
yes. Well, it's called pet influencing. We've spoken about that as well. Yeah, they use the pets to influence votes.
I want a pet tragedy this week in the Bell household.
What's happened?
Well, it's my scaly babies. I got a fish tank.
Right.
And this is where you've got to be very prescriptive when you talk about things, especially when you're telling them to your 16-year-old son.
Right.
So I emptied did a water change the other day, and I said to my, we were rushing to go out, and I said to my son, I'll just fill it up with this, you know, the big bucket, it's normal. But when you fill it up with tap water, you've got to run it really fast so it goes all bubbly because that dissipates the chlorine in the water.
Right, right. And your son didn't do that.
So my wife and I had gone out for a big night out, and you know, with the usual words, don't let anyone in. Call us if anything goes wrong.
Yes.
And he didn't call us because the two of the fish were like floating around. My two two of my babies, and when I got home, they were dead.
Right. And it didn't ruin your night. Hey, Dad. I'm sorry.
Well, I said to him, I said, if you'd have told me that, I would have come straight home. Why didn't you change the water? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, you know, the look when they're looking at me, their sort of lips are quivering and they're...
Right. You know, that's right. Really, they're like, sort of scared. Yeah. What's Dad going to think when he gets home? All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Rob. Are they really your babies? Anyway, I know you get attached to pets.
They used to have names and I could reach in and pat them and stuff.
Right, okay.
I just went to the pet shop and replaced them without him knowing.
Oh, that's right. He's got a criminal mind, Leroy. It'd be like an episode of like a sitcom. I could see that on the TV, you know, running around trying to replace the fish. Dad's on the way home. Now, we're going to get your week in court.
I would know, Leroy. I would actually know.
Would you know? I don't know if you can get the exact. 133353. We'll get your week in court, Rob Bell from Highway Advocates, and taking your calls very soon. 133353. We do have Anne there and a few calls for you, Rob, but sit right there. And, Highway Advocates will take your calls soon on Triple M. The mighty Powderfinger and DAF on Triple M. It's the night shift across Australia. You can phone 133353. We're here for you. It's 5 and a bit hours of we're not sure what's going to happen, as Luke says. And that's the number because you lead the agenda on 133353. And email as well, nightshift@triplem.com.au. We're doing show us your tats. We're getting some good photos of your tats on email and on the phones. nightshift@triplem.com.au. Facebook as well, and the listener app. It's easy to download, and you can listen to everything that goes to air here on the Night Shift via our listener app. Any tats? Are you inked up? Are you Rob Bell from Highway Advocates? Any tattoos?
Not while my mother's alive. I just say, yeah. not while my mother's still alive.
No. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm saying, because I'm seriously considering, I'm 49 to get a tattoo, but I'm thinking, my mum or dad will be listening, or the kids, and I'll say, what's Dad talking about? But, yeah, we're getting photos of tats. We've had some pretty interesting ones, Rob. It's been fun. 133353, that's the voice of Rob Bell from Highway Advocates. He will help us out if you're a truckie or a road user, if you're having a problem with a fine or a penalty or a pending court matter. He is your man. He'll set the scene for you and give you the lay of the land and just give you some options and hopefully help you towards success. And that way you can stay on the road. 133353. Anne is in New South Wales and she wants to chat to you. Rob, hi, Anne.
Hi.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Good, thank you.
Any tattoos, Anne, firstly?
No, not really.
No, okay, thought I'd check. All right.
A bit old for that.
Not really.
No worries, not really, yes. Rob Bell is listening to you, Anne. What's going on?
Well, I have a slight problem. They put a restriction on my license of 75 Ks whilst I was waiting to have a cataract removed. Well, I've had the cataract removed. I've been to the optometrist. He's filled in all the forms. The doctors have filled in the forms. I take it to the motor registry and those faceless people on the review board say it's not good enough. Now, I've been mucking around with this since the 9th of May and my license is due this Friday, so I can't drive until they send me out a letter and see what else they want me to do.
Right, and it's Anne, just what got. State is it in?
New South Wales.
All right. Well, I know virtually what your problem is. We come across it from time to time. If you've got medical evidence that says that the problem that caused your license to be restricted is now fixed, and you say you've told them that, you provided that evidence, have you?
Yes, I've got a letter from a doctor. See, I have to do the thing every year because I'll be 77 on Friday, actually. And you got to do the medical every year. And my optometrist, he did visual thing on me. And he said to me, Anne, you should be right. You just scraped it through, because he wouldn't say I was any good, because his job's on the line as well. Not good enough for these faceless people.
Yeah, well, just what you said there, I'm sure the optometrist just didn't use the exact words, you should be right, you've just scraped through. But
he didn't say that, but he said you've just made it through.
I was being facetious. yeah, well, look, tell you what, though, Anne, send us through. It's a bit sort of complex to go through on the radio tonight, but if you contact us, our email address is on our website.
Oh, look, I don't have a computer. I don't have to phone.
What about this phone number, Rob, that you've got this new phone number for Anne?
Yeah, well, you could give us a call.
Yeah.
I'll give you the number quickly. It's 0488010101.
0488010101.
Looks like oi, oi, oi. 0488 oi, oi, oi.
Yep. 0488 0101. Is that it?
That's the one.
And another. 0488 0101.
Yeah. 0488 and then 0101101.
I did say quickly.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Well, other people might be picking that up. Sorry, Anne. And we guess if you miss out, there is, well, you haven't got a computer, but get someone to help you on the website. With the restriction to Rob and Anne on your license, how do they track that you need to drive under 75 Ks? I mean, how would they know if you did 80 in a 100 zone, you're still within the law? How do they sort of police that?
No, well, that's what I say. And even my specialist who did my cataract, he said, what's the difference between driving 75 Ks and 100 Ks? I don't know why they did it to me. It was the optometrist who did
it. Well, there's that as well. But how do they police it? How do they know Anne's coming and she's driving 80 Ks when everybody else is driving, you know, 100?
Well, I think it goes from where you live. You can only do 75 Ks from where you live.
Oh, right. So it's more how far you can drive.
Yeah.
I see. So if you get pulled over, it's like almost what they did with the lockdowns and COVID. They say, what are you doing out here?
Yeah, I'm in I would have been in trouble.
I see. I thought it was the limit of
your
speed.
You're allowed to go to the bingo at the RSL, but you're not allowed to go anywhere else.
That's exactly right.
This is what you need to say, Anne. You need to say, it's my birthday tomorrow on Friday, and I've got a buddy drive somewhere.
I can't drive anywhere because they wouldn't. I was at the motor registry again today. I've been there every day this week trying to get this sorted. And you can't talk to this review board. Yeah. Even the optometrist tried to speak to them. They won't let you.
Yeah, yeah. Your point about faceless men, I agree with that too. You can't speak to people anymore, Rob. I mean, the review board, why can't Anne pick up the phone and talk to somebody and say, it's me, Anne, can you help me out? You can't speak to anybody anymore. Why are these walls of red tape covering
Same with everything. I had to ring the ATO the other day to do something with our payroll system, get it linked or whatever. That was an hour and a half of my life I'll never get back. Waiting on hold. But Anne, put it simply, give us a call tomorrow or when you can, or if you've got a grandchild or anyone like that who can get on the computer and email the stuff, that'd be even better, because we know how to get through to those people. And if you've got medical evidence that says you can drive and you're medically okay to do that, then quite often a letter with our letterhead on it has a bit more effect than someone trying to ring up. It's unfortunate that life has to be like that, but that's the way it is.
That's the way it is, yeah, fair enough. So, Anne, get somebody to help you online, and it's Highway Advocates, okay? Keep that in mind, highwayadvocates.com.au. Work that in the computer, and you can access the team online. What's the plans for your birthday? You said Friday, which is actually tomorrow, Anne, because we're into Thursday. Yeah. So what's your plan?
Well, that's Friday, so I won't be able to go anywhere. It's the last time I can drive.
It's the last time you can drive, but you said you can go within 75 Ks.
No. It's my license is due on Friday, and they won't. I can't drive after Friday.
Can you not renew your license over with the same restriction on it?
I was trying. Well, because it was all said that I could get rid of that restriction, and that's what I was trying to do. I said to him today when I went there, because I already had a restriction. That's when the restriction. I said, "Well, look, I'm sick of fighting with you. Just give me my license with the restriction on it."
Yes.
Wouldn't even do that. It's not good enough.
Wouldn't even do that.
Nah.
Okay.
I can't drive up. I'm stuffed, I tell you.
Not stuffed. Sorry, stuck.
You need to go up a level, Anne. You're being stuck at that first level of communication.
Yeah,
I know exactly. Yeah. You need some help to go up to the next
level.
That's
right, Anne. You need to speak to decision makers, Anne, not these idiots, or not these people who pick up the phone. Administrators, and they just bat you off. No. They just bat you off because they're not decision makers, Anne, and they're just looking at like a computer says no. All right, so get online and talk to Rob Bell, and keep us posted too. We want to see how you go there. You got your birthday. You got to get your license and move around. So please keep us posted there, and Rob will give you a hand on that website. 133353 is our number. Calls for Rob Bell. We'll play a song, Rob, but I want to hear what's going on with court this week. I'm sure you've had some interesting episodes in court. Rob Bell from Highway Advocates on the night shift here at Triple M. His number to speak to him is 133353 here at Triple M. Triple M, there's Dire Straits, and So Far Away. It's the night shift on Thursday, the 19th of May. Pat Panetta filling in for Luke Boner. Our phone number is 133353 as we broadcast across the Triple M radio network. You can email us as well, nightshift@triplem.com.au. Our Facebook page often has all the bits that we do on the radio, and of course, there's a listener app as well. Now, Rob Bell from Highway Advocates is here to chat to Rob. He'll give you a hand if you're a truckie or a road user, if you're having a problem with a penalty or a pending court matter. Rob is here to sort of address your questions on 133353. Don't wait till the sheriff's at your door. Talk to the team at Highway Advocates, and the man behind Highway Advocates, Rob Bell, is on the program this morning. Rob, we often sort of reflect on your week so far because you spend lots of time in court. Any interesting sort of encounters and stories for us this week with you being in court?
Not a real interesting week so far this week. It's ramping up today and tomorrow. We've had most of our matters this week have been adjournments and stuff like that, fairly routine sort of administrative sort of court things.
Yep.
But we've got 5 matters in court today. Another three on Monday.
Right.
Yeah. And it adds up all the time. We had a call from a truckie called Chris last night. He's be listening now. He's on his way across from Brisbane to Adelaide.
Yep. Give us a bell, Chris.
He's one of the. Yeah. Well, he was running. He's one of what happens a lot is these court notices, blokes will get pulled over. Truckies will get pulled over and they'll be told their breach, and sometimes the court notices don't turn up for a year or so later. And then what happened with Chris is he got it yesterday or the day before, and it's in a court in South Australia, and he's rung me up last night. Oh, what do I do? And I said, well, just send us the court summons, send us your stuff. We'll get in there and email the court and appear and ask for an adjournment, being a late instruction. And he's going, well, what? You can do that. Yep, we do it every day. It's what we do.
Yes, yes.
So, and,
and the fact
try
that you
to
can
give
do it,
us more notice.
Yeah, more. But, okay, yeah, try can. To. I was going to say, the fact that you can get it done quickly is great. It's what you do. And that's part of the advantage of engaging you and your team at Highway Advocates. So, yes, it helps that. So, but that's a nice thing to know that you can fast track it if you need to. What, you just email the court or you get on the phone and you just tell them, can you sort this out quickly?
Well, it's when you get a late instruction like that, it's a bit sort of, I wouldn't say panic stations, but you've got to get the prospective client to send the court notice and the information, etc. You've got to set up a file, sort of be instructed, and then you've got to contact. There's a fair bit of stuff goes on. I would say we do prefer a bit more notice than the night before if it can be done.
Yep.
But sometimes it does. It just happens. And we can deal with it. I don't want to say we're a 24/7 law practice because that opens up the.
Well, you work pretty hard. I know that you're often working into the wee small hours and you're in court every day. So communication is a big one. That's what I'm hearing from you there, that don't leave things too late. I notice here it says don't wait till the sheriff's at your door. I'm sure people do wait and they bury their heads in the sand. Just by being present and communicating and just telling everybody what you're up to, that'll also alleviate some of the pain. Don't just, put it in the bottom drawer and hope it goes away, Rob?
Well, exactly. We get a lot of people who call us. I had one today, earlier today, who it was just for about 5 minutes I couldn't get a word in. This guy was just completely stressed. And I said, listen, if I'm going to help you, you've got to stop talking and listen to what I'm saying. And then he realised, but the upshot was this is incredibly stressful for people to have to deal with these things. And part of what you pay us for, a legal practice, part of what you pay us for is to try and transfer some of that stress to know that we can deal with it. And we've got the capacity to deal with it, and you can get on with the things that you do best while we do what we do best.
Yeah, it must be a relief. You're right, stressful. There's a lot of talk about mental health and that sort of stuff. I mean, last week...
No, it is.
Yeah, I can imagine these poor blokes. Because, the fines for not filling out your logbook or doing these sorts of things are, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. And then we've got people on the road who are stressed and distracted by the thought that they might be put out of business or, you know, have to pay, you know, 30 grand in fees. So you must come across lots of people very stressed and financially, you know, stretched and worried.
No, it's like anyone. If someone said to you, gave you a, you know, you got an unfair ticket or an unfair court notice, and then you find out that you got to pay, you know, a few thousand dollars for legal assistance as well, and you're not going to get that back no matter what happens, so to speak. It's very unfair. I get that. The system is built that way. I mean, we've got just a couple of calls we had today. We had a fellow that was driving his truck down the Newell Highway, and he got pulled up at the sort of way the pads there, what they call the pads where the transport authority set up, which is only about a couple of minutes from a big truck stop where he was going to stop.
Right.
And he pulled up at the, he got pulled, wheeled into this pads at about 3 minutes past four, and his driving hours are up at 4 o'clock. He needed to have a rest, and they pulled him in there and said, oh, he said, I've just gone to the Shell and I was going to pull up for a rest. He said, well, it's 3 minutes past four now. We're going to make that 15 minutes past four because that's the way we count time in the law, and we're going to issue a ticket for being 15 minutes over your driving time.
Oh.
Now, where's the discretion in that?
Yeah, yeah.
So another guy rang us today. He said, he got a ticket from a coppers in Victoria for using his mobile phone when he was actually using his UHF radio. You know, a lot of these places you have to call up on the radio and say, oh, truck 50 coming in the front gate or whatever.
Yep.
And the copper said, no, we reckon you're on the phone. And so I said to him, well, you weren't. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Well, would that be easy to prove? You just get the phone bill and sort of, you know, the log calls or something? Would that be an easy one for you?
Oh, well,
it's a pain to go to court and try to prove it.
Well, basically, the prosecution has to, the way it does work is the prosecution should be able to prove you were on a phone rather than you weren't. But on the same token, the guy said, well, the fine's $600. You're going to be charging more than that. I might as well pay the fine.
Oh.
So that's how fines are designed, so to speak. People pay them.
Yeah. Because they're
just that amount.
To keep you from pursuing it any further. Okay, Rob Bell from Highway Advocates, your calls on 133353. We do have some calls there for you, Rob, but we'll go away for a tick and fire up the calls very soon on the night shift here at Triple N. 133353, Thursday the 19th of May, the fill-in guy, that's me, Pat, for Luke Boner, who's back at the end of May after a well-earned break in his birthday celebrations. Now, Rob Bell from Highway Advocates taking your calls on 133353. Dr. Carl is on his way, program scientist. He'll be on about 20, 30 minutes or so. You'll be surprised, Rob, how much dead skin and other nasties in your mattress, bed sheets per day. You shed 1.5 grams of dead skin per day and attracts a million dust mites. All a bit icky, but he's going to talk about that. And apparently after a one-night stand, they've done a study in the UK. Men, on average, wait 18 days before changing their sheets after a one-night stand. He'll talk about that. There you are. It's all interesting stuff.
Must take 18 days for mum to come around, I reckon.
Yeah, so he talks about that and says why, and if you're single and female when you change your sheets, because, you know, of course, with all the dust mites and stuff. And Dr. Carl even talks to magpies. He'll do his little magpie impersonation for us coming up later on the program. 133353. Craig is in Melbourne. He wants to say hi to Rob Bell from Highway Advocates. G'day, Craig.
Hello.
What's your question for Rob, mate?
Hello.
You there, Craig?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me, Craig? It's Robert. Here, mate.
Hello. Hello. Can't hear you.
Oh, Craig, we can hear you. What's your phone there, mate? You got us on speaker or something? It's the Bluetooth. I reckon, Rob, that's the story of my... Can you hear me? Rob, you there? Okay, work it out. Oh, that's right, you're Rob. He's gone. Hello, Kevin in Townsville. How you going, mate?
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking to Craig. I just
We had to flick him. He's trying to work out his phone. All right, don't choke on your coffee. What do you got for Rob?
Rob just made a comment on somebody that was fined for 3 minutes being out of hours. I'd just like to comment and get some clarification on that. From what I understand, there's a law written where You're allowed up to 8 minutes to. I can't quite the law. I just can't remember what it was. You're allowed 8 minutes to pull over and safely pull over and find a rest area before you get any fine. Has that changed, or is just the authorities just don't know what they're doing?
I think you're talking about the 8 minutes. I think applies if you've got an electronic work diary, Kevin. What if you're on? And don't quote me here, so to speak, but it varies between what fatigue provision you're on. But if you're on standard hours, I believe you can drive for up to 45 minutes more than you're supposed to if you can't find a suitable rest area.
Yes, I've heard that as well. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but it there's so many different, the law is that confusing and the different layers of fatigue, but the biggest thing is this ridiculous counting work time forward by 15 minutes and dropping your rest time back by 15 minutes, which means, apart from anything else, if you can imagine the productivity loss this law provides for the country, when you multiply that across every driver, across every state, you know, whereas they have to carry work time forward to the next 15-minute mark, and then, but they have rest time, they have to take it back 15 minutes. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, it's yeah, ludicrous, no, I, and even...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I've been in a situation where I have had to stop because I was running out of hours. I need to have a rest break. And you don't know who's watching, and, it's normally 1 or 2 minutes over, and, you don't expect to be fined for it, as long as you're...
Yes, you get a bit worried when you heard that, Kevin, because, when you run out of hours, you got to find a spot and stop. And if you're 1 or 2 minutes over, so you're saying there, Rob, there is some wriggle room. Once your hours run out, to find a spot and rest, or is that what you're saying? Or the law's so complicated
What I'm saying is, it depends what fatigue
provision
level you're on. Yeah. Provision you're on.
Yeah.
But what it boils down to, and this is what we spoke about last week, and I'll mention it again this week, is the absolute lack of discretion that's now being applied by any of the prosecuting authorities, that it's just like, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than saying, well, mate, yeah, I can see what you've done here. All right, off you go.
Yeah.
Like,
does that make your job harder or easier? Lack of discretion, the police are just sort of following the rules. There's a different culture as opposed to some of the old sort of fashioned coppers that might use a different approach. So lack of discretion, but if the law's the law, you get to court, and even if there is sort of a silly law, how do you sort of negotiate that, Rob?
Well, that goes back to what I was just saying. Yet quite often we get those matters dismissed even on a guilty plea. However, the poor old operator still loses. They've still got to pay legal fees. They're not going to get that back. So they still end up paying more than what the ticket is, but it clears that you don't get a conviction on your traffic record.
Right.
And you don't lose the point. So there's the upshot of that. But even when you win, you lose.
Yep.
So to speak.
So you're pleading guilty. You're paying a little more, but you're clearing your way there so you can stay on the road, basically. Rob Bell from Highway Advocates, 133353 is the number. We're taking your calls. If you've got a problem on the road, Rob will help keep you, successful and staying on the road with fines and penalties and pending court matters. 133353. And I think it's James. Was that James?
Yes, mate. How are you going?
Hi, James. How are you going, mate?
Good, mate. Good. Just a quick question for Wiles. It's quite a ripper, actually, for Rob. Mate, listen, about 10 years ago, I changed my name, surname, Depol, and I lost all my ID. And when my license got sent back out to me, it came back with the wrong name on it and the wrong date of birth. When I went back to the transport department, they said it wasn't there. I'd had to prove who I was prior to it, and I couldn't. So therefore, I had to get another tax file number, Medicare, the whole lot. That person really doesn't exist. How do I go back? I haven't been able to go back. Transport department saying it's fair birth, death, and marriages problem. First, death and marriage is a problem, so it's bloody transport's a problem. When the police pull me over, I don't even come up, I don't even exist, although they think it's a fake licence.
Right, like 007 or something.
Well,
it's a ripper.
Mate, it's a mess. It's a mess. I've been trying to do this for years.
Is that right?
Yeah, I rang tax. I rang the tax department. They gave me a fucking. So, sorry.
Oh, can we just. Okay, James, just watch the language there, mate. You know,
no F-bombs, James.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
My official name, so just to that, how frustrating it is. So I'm known as Pat, but I've been named after my grandfather, who is a Pasquale, like Italian name. And right. I know that also causes issues, just to what you're saying. Yep. Yeah, if it's wrong in the system, it can mess things up for years and years, James. So
you've got different names and all sorts of stuff going on. I've been dealing with this for 10 years. I'm actually, theoretically, the person who they believe that I am, isn't really an Australian citizen, has no identification because it's just something that's made up. I'm wondering, you know, how did...
Must make life very difficult, James.
It has. Every time I got pulled over, they assumed it was a fake license, so I'd have to go in. They'd take me into the police station. I've had the police look at it. They've thrown one police officer threw his hands up and said, "Mate, you're in the too hard basket." Everyone I've spoke to can't do anything about it, and I can't prove who I was beforehand.
Red tape issue, Rob, that maybe you can cut through.
This is another one where I'd sort of have to say, like,
it's a humdinger. It's
not really our thing, but I mean. Can I ask you why you changed your name? I'm kind of intrigued about that.
I changed my name when I took on my son full time. I changed my surname just for a nicer name. I actually got an Italian name, but I went to a basic surname. Yeah, it started from there. It spring rolled from there.
I know people, like Pat was saying, I know people who adopt a different name but don't actually change it by deed poll, but they become, just over time, they became known by that name, but you're talking about official documents. And
yeah, 100%. My problem was apparently it was done between the period of when it went from paper to computer, and therefore it's untrackable. Nobody can track it back.
They can't track the application to change your name.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist.
Well,
have you thought about just making a fresh application?
That's a good idea.
Just do it again now. You know, now the systems are all computerized. Ha ha! Right? Why don't you just do it again?
Yeah, but that's still to apply for another name. I've got to prove.
Right. You've got to prove that you've got a name.
I've still got the wrong date of birth. Everything's incorrect.
You can't apply because they've stuffed it up. So it's sort of like this sort of chicken and egg sort of scenario. It's like, I want to do it again, but I can't because I don't sort of exist. My paperwork won't allow me to do it again. And you're the people who sort of affected my paperwork. Gee, so do you travel, or you can't sort of go overseas or do anything?
I haven't been able to do nothing. No, I've managed to open up a bank account. I've got Medicare. I've got tax file number.
Is all that stuff on your real name or
no?
The fake
no,
name?
this is all on the fake stuff. Oh,
now it's sort of tangling even more. Rob, so he's opened up. Oh, you might as well just
listen. I'm not going to tell you to give us a call during the daytime. I'm already losing what hair I've got, right?
So I guess you've had to do all that stuff because you've got to live your life. So you've got to get the tax file number and all the other stuff under this incorrect name.
Yeah, right. Date of birth, everything's incorrect.
Why don't you just go with that? Are you younger? Is your date of birth younger?
No.
We've got the glass half full, half empty scenario here. Just look at the positives now. You get
the year, right?
You can have two birthdays.
That's not me.
Well, theoretically, I do. I have two birthdays a year.
Yep. So when the coppers take you in and say you've got a fake license, they get on the computer. How do they? I mean, if you're registered under that fake name, they'll just think that's you.
Yeah, but when they look at it, it comes up under what do they call it? It's like the person doesn't exist. It's a it comes up under
unknown.
All the paperwork that they send out to me, place of birth is unknown. Everything's unknown.
Right.
Yeah, nationality unknown.
James, we've got ASIO on the line. They want to employ you as a spy. They're going to send you to China.
Say, we've got our very own Kaiser Soze.
They're going to send you to China and sort that out. When
something a bit freaky. When you're looking at the mirror, sometimes you just see your sort of image fade away because the mirror doesn't recognise you. Or is
they're going to make a movie about you, James.
Is there anybody I can actually get? Do you recommend? Yeah, okay. I mean, I've spoke to some solicitors and stuff like that, and everyone's sort of thrown it in too hard basket.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's gone into our two hard basket, I can tell you.
You might have to find a better solicitor. Surely there'd be a law person out there who could help you sort that out.
I spoke to probably in the last 8 years, probably six different solicitors. I've had the police officers. I had one police officer, like I said, he spent probably a good 2.5 months on it. And then in the end, he said, mate, listen, you've got a massive problem because if I ever lose my license or anything like that, I can't, how the hell do I get it again?
Yep.
And how do I prove who I am?
Yep, that's right. You'll be in a mess if you lose your license. You've got to start from zero. James, keep listening. We're broadcasting literally every corner of Australia on 70-plus radio stations. If you can help James, maybe you work in the law or you've had a similar experience or you understand the red tape in this sort of situation, 1-333-53. Let's see if we can help James out from Coffs Harbour. So you keep listening, James. See if somebody out there can give you a bit of a hand. 1-333-53. We're talking to Rob Bell from Highway Advocates. This is Triple M, the night shift. It's the Super Jesus Gravity on Triple M. It's the night shift across Australia on the Triple M radio network. Pat Panetta filling in for Luke Boner. Miss Jess is here. She's taking your calls. Leroy in the studio. And Rob Bell from Highway Advocates taking your calls as well. And Colin is in Brizzy. G'day, Colin.
Yes, hello.
Mate. Yeah, we've got Rob Bell from Highway Advocates. You got a question for him?
I certainly have, yes, please.
Go for it.
Rob. G'day, mate. Yeah, I had my motor vehicle... G'day. I had my motor vehicle stolen October last year. Now, the police found the motor vehicle, grabbed the bloke who stole it, put him to prison, but my vehicle got impounded to do fingerprints and detective work or whatever the hell they had to do, and got taken away on the other side of town to where I live. It's like an hour's drive from where I live to where the pounding bloody yard is, where they do the whatever. Now, this is what happened, and I haven't been able or physically had enough money to get my motor vehicle back from the pound yard, which are incurring fees of up 3 months it was $1,200 I had to pay to get my own car back from the police.
Oh, that's a bit bloody rough. You're paying to get your own car back because it got it impounded to get fingerprints.
Tell me about it. Very rough, yeah. And like I say, where they pounded it, they didn't have to. They could have parked outside my place, come and done the dust of the goddamn thing for print. Yeah. Why not? Yes, why not?
So what status are we at, Colin? They got the car and you got to pay, the fines are going up and up. Where's the car now and how much do you owe?
Yeah. No, they're not fines, they're impound fees. So, see, I've done nothing wrong here. This is the whole thing. Queensland Police have encroached this bloody fee on me.
Yep.
And look, that was December last year, and it was $1,200 to get my car back from the holding yard from the Queensland Police. Yep. Now, so that's January, February, another 3 months are on top of that. So, shit, double that, I suppose,
Okay. Colin, thank you, mate. Just hang on there. Rob, does that seem right to you that the police would take your car and impound it to do their tests and then charge you some sort of fee for keeping the car there? There's something not right there, Rob.
Well, it doesn't sound right, but they probably can. That's the thing. Look, this is another example where if they had a letter from a legal practice, it might gel them into doing something. Common sense might kick in Colin, I'm not sure. I don't know that we know. We don't know the particular circumstances rather than what you told us. But yours sounds like another one. If you contact us during the daytime and give us a few more details or send in any correspondence you got regarding, we might be able to see what we can do to sort of ramp that up a bit for you.
Okay, Colin. Yes. So get on the internet, highwayadvocates.com.au. So the car's been there for 6 months. How have you been getting around, Colin?
This is it. This is it. I've been in public transport and not been able to do much at all. And like I say, I don't think I should be up for fees the way the police went about their business. It could have been a lot more easier way to do if anybody ever get off their back seat and hunt around and ring me up and ask me or something. I have done nothing wrong. I'm just trying to retrieve my stolen vehicle. Yes, yes. And they've caught the bloke. Yeah.
Right, contact us during the day, mate. Drop us a line by email or however you want to do it. Contact us and we'll see what we can do.
Through the website, all right? There's a contact form there at highwayadvocates.com.au. Thank you, Colin. We'll go away for a tick, but take some more calls with Rob Bell from Highway Advocates, Dr. Carl on the way, also the quickie, day four of the quickie, and lots more here on Triple M, the night shift, 133353. Your calls coming up next. Yes, that's right. It's Triple M. It's the night shift across Australia. Thursday, the 19th of May, across this great land, every corner of Australia, via the Triple M radio network and, of course, around the world on the listener app. Pat Panetta for Luke Boner. He returns Monday, May 30. But in the meantime, I'm here taking your calls on 133353. And Rob Bell from Highway Advocates also taking your calls this morning, as he does every Thursday. Shane joins us. Rob, g'day, Shane.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Rob's listening from Highway Advocates. You got a question for him?
I'd just like to touch base on a couple of things. One, old mate getting his car stolen. Who's the criminal?
Well, I was going to ask him that, but whoever it was, because he's been treated like a criminal. Yeah, they locked the guy up. They found the guy. They did everything, and he's being treated like a criminal. Is that what you mean?
I think the police are the criminals. Stealing money off him like that.
Yeah, yeah. $3,000 to get his own car back.
And it's probably a $2,000 car.
Yeah, that's right. The poor fella. He hasn't been able to drive for 6 months. He sounded like he needed, he sort of needed a bit of a hand, I'm making an assumption here, but yeah, maybe $3,000's a lot of money to anybody, isn't it, Shane?
Yep.
All right, mate. No worries.
Right. What I'd like to touch base about, the UHF radio, I talk on it a fair bit. Do you know, have you ever heard of a SV88 VL? No. Commodore? Right, SV88 Commodore. They came out years ago with a mobile phone in it, factory fitted, and you could use that, and it's got a cord attached. What's the difference between that and the... between that and the phone?
It's interesting you say that because that's going to segue straight to what I was going to say before.
Yeah.
The mobile phone laws throughout the state, throughout the different states under the road rules, are really, in our view, poorly written. So, for instance, it says you can't use a mobile phone. Okay, so what if you had like a handpiece plugged in and were holding up like a phone that was not a mobile phone. But then again, it's mobile. What's a mobile phone?
Remember
the old phones you had on your...
Shane's saying, this car has got one with a cord, so it's not officially a mobile phone. So can you do that in court, really split hairs and look at words and do all that sort of stuff, yeah? Set a precedent,
exactly.
As they say?
It's what they call statutory interpretation or construction. It has to be... Because it's a strict liability offence, meaning, as we spoke about the other week, it sort of flips the burden of proof over.
Yeah.
Then it's really that they have to be read. It's kind of like what they call black letter law. So it has to be read very strictly.
Mm.
So you have to look at legislation and think, what are they saying there? What do they mean?
Right.
And then you sort of you go into it and it's.
Well, the spirit of the law, what do they mean with the mobile phones, is that it's distracting to be on a phone while driving. So whether it's plugged in and it's, you know, an old-fashioned phone or not officially a mobile phone, the spirit of the law still says don't drive and be on the phone, though, Rob.
Well, that is true. That's the context of the law. That's what Parliament meant. But then again, if they're giving you fines, or cameras are giving fines for, you know, quite in 5 points or whatever, then it has to be read very strictly.
Okay.
So if they don't know how to write the legislation properly,
yeah,
then it creates problems, because again, like for instance, over the mobile phone rules in New South Wales and most of the other states, you can be passing a phone to a passenger and you haven't committed an offence.
You haven't?
However,
yeah.
No, you haven't. But if that phone, if a camera, so say you're going along and the camera's up there and it sees you with a phone in your hand,
yeah,
you're gonna get a ticket.
That's right. Can't touch it.
What if you are passing it to your passenger
or to
your kid in the back to play with?
Yep.
Then that's a
different thing. So Shane, what motivated you to ask this question and talk about that car and point that out?
That's the thing. Like, it's legal to use a UHF. Why isn't it legal to use that old school phone? It's an SV88 VL. You could actually, it's factory fitted, and that actually came out with a fax machine as well.
Is that right?
Yep, 1988 SV88.
So that's exactly what you're saying, Rob. What Shane's saying. Why is it? You can use the radio, the two-way radio, but why is it? Well, you were just saying that the law is a bit vague on it all.
Well, I'm just looking at it now. Like, to hold the mobile phone or to held one includes held by or resting on any part of the driver's body. So if you've got it sitting on your thigh or whatever, you're going to get done. But does not include held in a pocket of the driver's clothing or in a pouch worn by the driver. And I, back in the days when I drove, and your Bluetooth wouldn't work, you'd sort of pop the phone in your top left-hand shirt pocket with the speaker on, and you could sort of talk like that. And so according to the law, that's okay.
And I'm just looking at that car online here, Shane. It's a pretty special car. They've put before its time with the mobile phone and the fax machine in there. I'm getting I can see photos of the outside of the car, but I can't see inside. Do you own one of these, Shane? SV88 VL Commodore?
No, I know someone that's got one. I own a VL Turbo Berliner station wagon.
They were a rocket, weren't they? They are a rocket.
Beautiful engine. I'm a Nissan man. But the funny thing is, you could buy that SV88 with a fax machine factory, and it sat on the passenger seat. So you're driving down the road on your phone, and the fax comes through.
I love it.
Yep. If you push in SV88. Can you imagine?
We're going to give this car to the guy with the name. Can you imagine the Leo Wink? What's that? Sorry.
Can you imagine the Leo Wink? I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Leo Winkers driving around back in the day, you know, pulling up, do you want to send me a fax machine, love?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah? We're very special.
Send a fax. You can send a fax.
Well, they mustn't have sold very many of them, because I reckon they're quite rare. I'd never heard of that car, Shane.
They're worth a fortune. They're a dark blue, and they've got Walkinshaw rims on them. If you push in SV88 fax machine.
Right. I'm looking at one which is Jewel Midnight, a beautiful, you said dark blue, but a nice colour, yeah.
Can I make a point to Shane? Obviously talking about the UHF, you know, you hold that when you talk, and obviously he's talking about these old phones in the cars. Back in those days, you would have to have, held onto it to make the call. But these days, you don't even need to touch your phone. Like, most cars have Bluetooth anyway to make conversation, so there's not even an issue with current phones.
That's true. No, yeah. My car's got Bluetooth, but not every car. Right, an approved holder. Got it.
Oh, I can see the fax machine.
Yep, sorry. There's a bit of a delay between our
and because the old phones, like, they didn't have bloody apps on them. So, you know, I can understand why you would have held them back in the day, but there's no point to even hold them now, because Bluetooth will make calls for you. You can do it on voice command in most cars.
But I guess Shane's asking, because your mate with the car, with the phone, maybe he's above the law, or he's outside the law, and maybe he can use it. If he's driving his SV88 VL around, Shane, in Brisbane.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
I wouldn't risk it.
to me, there's no difference between that phone that's factory fitted and a UHF, really.
Would you agree with that, Rob? Or you don't want to sort of put your you-know-whats on the line?
Well, you know what? No, I never want to put them on the line, to be honest. Quite attached to them.
Anyway, see if you make them use it.
They form an integral part of my being. But
fair enough. All right, Shane. Look,
but
if he gets done for using the phone, just give Rob a call. And I reckon you'd be able to get away with it. That's my gut instinct.
But I will say this, and I'm putting them on the line, that doesn't appear to be any law saying you can't use a fax machine while you're driving.
I just send you a fax. Shane, good on you, mate. 133353, Rob Bell, Highway Advocates, your calls for Rob after this. Oh, there they are. Don't you love it? Nirvana, Come As You Are on Triple M. This is the night shift across Australia. Pat Panetta for Luke Boner, who's back at the end of May after a bit of a break for his birthday. And, 3 weeks fill-in gig for me, and it's been great having you around. 133353. Rob Bell from Highway Advocates is here, and we're taking calls for you, Rob, with Mark in Newcastle. G'day, Mark.
Good morning.
We've got Rob from Highway Advocates here. He's all ears. Mark, what's your question?
Pardon me. I own a very unique business. I go around to high schools in New South Wales. I want to expand to Queensland and Victoria. I go to high schools and I teach year 10 and 11 students how to buy roadworthy cars and all the fines that go with it, defects. And I've got to keep up to date with all the fines. So I'm in constant. Every year in June, I call Highway Patrol. I also go to Canberra. Different laws for different states. Bloody stupid, because it's one country, it's not Europe. The question I want to ask, what is the biggest fine you have heard for speeding anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world?
Hmm. Apparently Europe, they're pretty hard in Europe, aren't they, Mark?
Sweden.
Sweden, yeah.
Ten years ago, a bloke got caught speeding. I think he was doing 360. It's 10 years ago, so I'm trying to remember.
Right.
He got fined $2 million.
$2 million 10 years ago for 360.
Thinking that
360 kilometres.
Yeah, because in Sweden,
I think in those countries,
average their fines on the amount of money you make. And I think this bloke was a billionaire.
Oh, I see. Right. I was going to say that. I thought maybe it's scaled up with how much you're over the limit. But that's interesting. Sweden, they're quite progressive. So they work out what your income is and they fine you in line with what you can afford.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. So you got $2 million 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Right. There you are. Now tell us about this business. I still can't get my head around it. You go to schools and teach teenagers about purchasing cars and the fines associated with cars?
Year 10 are going for their learner's license and year 11s are going for their red P plates. My business is called The Lemon Car. And if you listen to me, you won't buy a bloody lemon.
Right.
And I'm the only one in Australia that does it. So that's why I travel everywhere.
Yep. And do the schools invite you to talk to the kids or are you sort of doing it off your own bat? Okay.
When I first started, I approached the education department. They said, no, we're not going to help you. We don't promote businesses. You have to contact each school individually. Well, schools talk to each other. So I get a phone call from a school in the ACT, and I live in Newcastle, and I say, how did you hear about me? Oh, we've got this teacher that started this year, and you went to their school a year ago, and they want you to come to our school. So it's a top business. It's a working holiday. Most of the time I only work 2 hours a day. It depends on how big the school is.
Right. So you must have come up with this idea, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a website? What's your website, Mark?
The Lemon Car.
The Lemon Car, right, okay. Yeah. Newcastle.
Yeah, I was a single dad.
It sounds like you've built up, just going to say, you have got a unique business there. It sounds like you've come up. It's often hard to think of something what can I do that someone else isn't doing? Or it sounds like you've cracked that one.
Yep, yep. And, yeah. And niche as well. You've got a nice little niche there. So what were you saying? You're a single dad?
Yeah, with an autistic child. So I couldn't have a proper job. So my son would say, Dad, can I have $2? And I'd say, no, mate, we got to buy milk or we got to buy bread. And I'm thinking, what the bloody hell can I do where I only work school hours but can choose the days that I work, because the school might ring and say, look, you got to come and pick up your son.
Yep, yep. So you needed that flexibility.
For whatever reason.
Yep, yep. Yep.
And so, and it took off. But COVID stuffed me the last couple of years.
Who looks after your boy now that you're travelling around?
Now he's 23.
Right, okay. Yep. So the Lemon Car is a fun, interactive and informative road and vehicle safety education program, travels to high schools in New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland, educating young drivers about the importance of proper vehicle safety and maintenance for year 10s and 11s. Nice one. Good work. So what's your background? You must have a bit of an interest or an understanding of this field.
I grew up in a poor family in a poor area. The cars that I could afford to buy were $500. I'd put an $800 stereo system in it. But when it comes to what it was when I was 17, I'm 55 now. But when it comes to registration, I always had to fix something, replace something, tyres, and that's my background. Right. And so
can I just jump in there for a sec, mate?
Yep.
I just wanted to segue to a point that was said right at the start of the call about the highest fines, all right? You'd be interested to know, too, that the highest fine in Australia, I'm looking at this thing that talks about them all over the world, the highest fine is in New South Wales. So if you're caught doing over 45 k's over the speed limit, it's about it's $2,350 fine maximum. Yet, you know how we talk about truck drivers and their fatigue fines and all that?
Mm.
If you get what's called a critical breach, which can be easily done, it doesn't sound as bad as, it's not as bad quite often as what it sounds.
Yes.
The maximum fine for that is $17,240 in four demerit points. So you think about it. If you can drive in a car at, over 100 k's through a 60 zone or whatever, and you cop a fine of 20, just 2.5. But if you make a slight administrative error in your work diary for a truck driver, that can be a fine of $17,240.
It's a lot of pressure on truck drivers, isn't it? You're doing this overnight work, you're delivering things and keeping things ticking along. And yes, the law is so heavy-handed on you and sort of not on your side. So, we spoke about the pressure or the worry that some people are carrying around. And that's part of the reason, Ron.
That's that one we had the other week I mentioned where the police had put them all on the one court attendance notice. So with all the 20 different sequences on the notice, it meant a maximum potential penalty of $168,000 and about 28 demerit points.
Right.
And that's the one where we got them all. That's the one where we got them
got
all.
Got them all off. Yeah. No penalty. Yeah. Gee, but, he must be happy with you, that client.
Well, ecstatic. But yeah, there's there'll come a time soon if we don't do something about it, where there'll be no one left to drive trucks anymore.
Yeah, to push everybody out of the whole industry. Mark, where's your next presentation?
It's on the where is it? On the 8th of June at Kingsgrove High School, which I've never been to before. They contacted me 2 months ago.
Great.
And they said, we've heard about you. Can you come to us? And I said, yeah, how many students you got? And they said, 150. And I said, righto, that's 2 one-hour presentations, because I do 50 to 70 students each presentation.
Right.
They all get a checklist. I tell them what to do. They work as a team. Walking around the car, because my car's specially modified. I pull up to the school, I hit a toggle switch, it cancels the right-hand high beam, which is now a defect. It cancels the blinker, which is now a defect. And I say to the students, all it is a $6 globe. A monkey can change it. It's easy to do. Right, so walk around the car, talk, laugh, joke, burp, I don't care. The only rule is don't touch the car. You don't need to.
Mark, for our listeners' sake, what is the number one? How do you spot a lemon? If you're going to buy a car at a car yard, what's the one thing you'd say?
Lift up the bonnet, pull the dipstick out, and this is what I do with the students, because the dipstick tells you everything about the engine. If it's a brown colour, I show the students and I ask them, what colour is the dipstick down the bottom where the oil is? And they say brown. And I say, well, brown's good. The engine's telling you, I feel great, let's go for a drive. If it's a black colour, it's the engine's telling you, look, I've got a bit of a headache. Can you give me an oil change, please?
Yeah.
If it's thick black, I say, look, the car's got COVID. Right, you're in trouble.
Yeah, needs a mask and some sanitizer.
Yeah, it's a milky colour. Yeah, if it's a milky colour, walk away because you can't afford to fix it. Right, you've got a cracked head or a blown gasket.
So that's the genius of what you're doing, Mark. You're teaching these kids life skills in an era where they're not really, you know, it's all digital now. So I guess the schools are thinking, hey, this guy can actually come to the students and sort of teach them a life skill about purchasing cars.
And how many kids, when they get their license, their L's and their P's, actually know how to change the, you know,
the oil?
The oil and the spare add water tire to the car, the spare tyre, air in the tyres, all that stuff.
Do you show them that,
Mark? A lot
Mark?
Of kids, hey?
Do you show them the spare tyre thing?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I put it on display because I show them how to check the indicators.
Yeah.
And when it gets level on one of those indicators, right? And this is how the coppers check, the mechanic checks when it's due for rego. All they do is feel. And if they can feel one of the indicators, which is the little lugs inside the grooves, if one of them is level with the tyre, they call that. That's deemed a ball tyre. If it's 2 millimetre above the lug, the copper will say, mate, I'll let you go now, but you got to get tyres.
Yep. I bet you the girls is better than the boys at doing that.
You'd be surprised. I had the head bosses of Goodyear come up when I first started. They flew up from Melbourne to see me because I've got sponsors on my car. And you're looking at the website, you can see I've got sponsors.
Yeah, I can see
sponsors.
The car there. Yep.
Goodyear come up. They were very interested. And I was doing a school in Newcastle, and they said, are the girls into it? And I said, mate, you'd be surprised. And the first group to come out was led by a 16-year-old girl, and she said, an SS Commodore. Oh, is this a 5-litre? And I just looked at the bosses of Goodyear, and they're going, yeah, you sold us.
There you go, sponsorship, cha-ching. Yeah. No, nicely done. Good on you, mate. What a wonderful story. A single dad with a son with special needs, and you needed to find a way to look after him and set up a business, and you've done that and it's taken off. Wonderful story. I love that, Rob. There you go. We've had some good calls this morning. Good on you, mate. Good luck, Mark, with your presentation. That's the lemoncar.com.au to see Mark's website. Dave is here. G'day, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Good, mate.
Okay, one for Rob there as well. With that mobile phone that you're talking about.
Yep.
The difference between that is because that UHF is only a push button, and where they deem the phone is illegal because you actually have to physically dial the numbers. And that's the difference in between the UHF and the mobile phone.
Yes. Fair enough. You know, the UHF is just a little push button and you're dialing the numbers on a phone. But I guess the point from that caller was that, and your point, Rob, is that the law is actually quite vague, just saying a mobile phone. So what is a mobile phone? This Commodore has the cord and is a different type of phone. So is it officially a mobile phone? So there's a sort of interpretation. But I get Dave's point. I guess the police say, well, the UHF is easy because you're just pressing the button, whereas the phone, you're dialing and doing the whole bit, and that's a distraction in the car.
Well, maybe, but a UHF has got all sorts of dials and controls on it as well.
Yeah.
So is your car stereo. So, you know, a lot of these modern cars have got all these interactive sort
That's right, which can be quite distracting, yeah.
Yeah, so you're allowed to touch them.
Yeah, you must have fun in court.
Yeah, you've got to look at, The modern tech in cars these days is pretty amazing. But,
yes. And what Leroy was saying too. With Bluetooth and stuff, really in today's age, you don't, or an approved holder, you don't need to really touch the phone, and it'll even read your text messages to you. So it's very dangerous, isn't it, touching your phone while you're driving? And the suggestion to turn it off.
I would just say that everyone get it set up with a holder and Bluetooth, and just the cameras are everywhere. Just don't touch the bloody phone while you're driving.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, you can get really good magnetic holders too. Most iPhones, I think, post 12, and Samsung phones have like magnetic stuff built in, so you can just plonk it on without even. Okay. And they're stick into your air vent. They're really good. I've got about $50.
Yeah, where do you buy them from? Did you say?
JB Hi-Fi. JB Hi-Fi would sell them. Yeah. Yep.
To get some for my son. He's just got his license. All right, good on you. Thank you, Rob from Highway Advocates. Dr. Carl is standing by. He's going to talk about dead skin and dust mites and all this sort of stuff, Rob. So we have to make way for Dr. Carl, our scientist. But it's always fun. And then I'm here for one more week. So we might see you this time next week. What do you reckon?
Sounds good.
You're not going to sack me yet, are you?
I'll put it in my calendar. I'll see if I can find time for you.
No worries. And then, of course, Mr. Boner is back the week after. All right, we appreciate it, mate. Well done. Lots of good calls there. We're helping people out. Highway Advocates, Rob Bell, is back next week on the night shift.
Dr. Don't forget that number.
Yeah, baby.
0488.
Oh, yeah.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yes. Call Rob, send a text or send him an email. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate it. It's the night shift on Triple M.